Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Kingdom Authority, from the series Stronger, and examines the deep significance behind Christ being the head of every man and its implications for Christian practice. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I just want to encourage you, open your Bibles up today to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse 2. And what Paul has been talking about, he's been writing this Corinthian church that he loves with his whole heart, who has believed in the gospel. But what he's been doing over the last few chapters is he's been making correctives to their church. And he started by talking about marriage and singleness in chapter 6 and 7. And then he began spending chapters 8, 9, and 10 talking about the Christian liberty we have. And what we learned is in those three chapters, hey, we have liberty and freedom in Christ at all times because we are so loved that we may always at any place honor the Lord Jesus Christ in everything and serve one another. And Paul ended that section in chapter 11 and verse 1 by saying, be imitators of me, therefore, as I am of Christ. In other words, watch how I use my Christian liberty to honor the Lord and you do the same. And now he's going to dive into a section of scripture that's really, really important for us. And I want to read through the first couple of verses and let you hear the word of the Lord. He says this, now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Delivered is the key word. Paul's praising them. And like any good parent, he's going to point out their good qualities before he points out some things that need to be corrected. And he's praising them and he's saying, listen, here's the thing. I praise you because you hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Now, a lot of times we think of traditions as an act, but what he's talking about is the tradition he delivered to them is the gospel. That's the tradition. If you flip over in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, he'll say this, for I delivered to you. Well, what did you deliver, Paul? For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's what Paul delivered. I got good news for you this morning. Even if you've never been to church before in your life. Jesus Christ came. He's fully God. He's fully man. He came to this earth, fulfilled the law, do what you could never do, in that he paid the penalty for all of your sins. He died on the cross, was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he offers life to anyone, anywhere, at any time that would confess him as their personal Lord and Savior. Which means if you came in here today, and you're like, I'm not even a religious kind of person, or I'm just way out there, I've sinned too much. Great news for you. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He gave his life for you. He rose from the dead and authenticated that he was God. And so he's willing to offer life to anyone. Okay? That's great news this morning. And what Paul is saying is, I'm praising you, Corinthians, because y'all believe that. You believe that. It's a really, really, really good thing. Now comes the corrective in verse 3. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Then he's going to spell it out. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head. For she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. The word of God for the people of God. Right? I mean, most people, when they think about this section of scripture, they say, that's the head covering passage. The head covering passage. And really, it's a lot more than the head covering passage. But I want to point out something, because the first thing it says in verse 3 is this, but I want you to understand. What do you want me to understand, Paul? That Christ is the head of every man. That's the thrust of this whole passage. And then he says this, and the man is the head of a woman. He's not talking wife. He's not talking husbands and wife. We've already done that in chapter 7. If you have a translation in the ESV, I think the message translates it as husband. It's not husband. It's just man, okay? And God is the head of Christ. He's pointing out kingdom authority. He's saying this, in the kingdom, everybody answers to somebody. That's what he's saying. And there's kingdom authority. And he's saying, hey, before we get to understand how to take communion, and before we understand all the spiritual gifts that happen in the church, and before we understand how to love one another, and before we understand prophecy and tongues and all the things that cause confusion, hey, let's make sure we get God's kingdom authority in line and that we understand God's divine order for things, because if this is out of order, everything's out of order. A few months ago, Kim had me drive her car. She said, Jeff, she said, my car rattles if I get over 40 miles an hour. There's just something wrong with my car. Which her telling me something was wrong with her car, I mean, she might as well tell the mailman. I don't know how to fix cars. So I got in her car, got on I-25, and I started driving. Sure enough, I got over 40 miles an hour and it started rattling. The faster I went, the more that it rattled. I could feel the steering column move and all this stuff. And so I took it in, and what I found out was there's nothing wrong with my car. Engine's fine, tires are fine, everything's fine. But the steering column was out of alignment. And because it was out of alignment, it made everything rattle and shake. Let me tell you something. What I'm going to teach you today is something in our culture that is so out of alignment that everything is shaking and it's causing problems. And even though things are able to move forward, it's not moving forward the way God would want it to move forward. Okay? And so what God is saying here is this. Number one, first point is that God has established a divine order of kingdom authority, and it's based on gender. God has designed divine order of kingdom authority, and it's based on gender. Now, you may say, well, why do we need to keep kingdom authority? Kingdom authority is the way God has established order for his blessing to pour through. And God has designed kingdom authority based on gender. Verse 3 of chapter 11 tells us, I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. So he's talking about there's distinctives in kingdom authority, and those are based on gender. So I'm going to start by just making five comments about gender based upon the word of God that we need to understand before we even begin this topic, okay? One is this: God designed and created gender. God is the designer and he is the creator of gender. If you go in the first chapter of your Bible, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, you will see God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay? God created and designed gender. Before he created male and female, he had to have an idea for what he was creating. Gender is God's design. He designed it, he created it. Number two, know this: God loves both genders. God loves men and God loves women. He doesn't preference men and he doesn't preference women. God loves both genders equally. You need to know that, okay? Now, this third one may be the most shocking for a culture, but it's true. Notice this: God decided your gender, okay? God decided your gender. Now, I want to make a statement here from Psalms chapter 139, Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I give thanks for you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it full well. At about the 20-week mark, ladies, if you're pregnant, or husbands, if you have a wife who's pregnant, oftentimes you go to the doctor to get a sonogram to check out what? You want to know the gender of your child, right? I want to let you know something. Whatever the child's gender is at that time will be the gender of that person for the rest of their days. Okay? If in utero you are male, you will always be male. If in utero you are female, you will always be female. No matter what age you get to, no matter what doctor you see, no matter what operation you have, you will always be the gender you were when you were conceived. Period, end of story. According to the word of God. And some of you may say, wait. I know some people, or maybe you're one of them, that would say, I was created this, but I feel like I should be that. I'm not disagreeing with your feelings. I'm just saying that's not how God created you. What he created you for is what he wanted you to be, okay? Then he says this: God has a purpose for your gender. He has a purpose for your gender. If you're female, he's got a purpose for that. If you're male, he's got a purpose for that. God, everything God designs and creates, he has purpose for. There's reasons that he does that. And number five is God wants you to understand and follow his design for gender. God wants you to understand and follow your design for gender. Okay? This is an important topic. Our world has blurred this so much that there is no longer a distinction anymore. We have women that are trying to act and be like men, and we have men that are trying to be effeminate and act like women. And God said, no, you don't understand. I'm the designer and creator of gender. I gave you your gender, and I have a purpose for your gender, and I love your gender. And it's really important that you get this thing right, because if you don't get this thing right, everything's going to shake. You don't get this thing right in your marriage is going to shake. It may get down the road, but it's going to shake. You don't get this right in the church is going to get down, but it's going to shake a little bit. You don't get this right in the community, it's going to rattle. And I'll tell you right now, in our city in Denver, the community's rattling a little bit, and this is one of the big reasons that it is.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Kingdom Authority, from the series Stronger, examining the deep significance behind Christ being the head of every man and its implications for Christian practice. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
So it's important for us as a church to say, well, then God, what do you have to say about this divine order? And the very first thing it says, ladies, is that this is really about the first one he talks about. I want you to understand this. Who's he talking about? Christ. Let's talk about Christ. And what does he say about Christ? Christ is the head of every man. Christ is the head of every man. This is not a passage on head coverings. This is a passage on kingdom authority and divine order. So let's just spend a couple minutes and talk about the divine order of men. But before I go, let me just tell you why most people reject this outright. There's a lot of people that will say stuff like this. This doesn't apply to us. And let me tell you why this doesn't apply to us. Because Paul hated women. Okay? Let me tell you something. Paul did not hate women. Paul, along with Jesus Christ, elevated women. In the first century, women were thought of as little more than property. And both Jesus and Paul gave them dignity, honor, respect, and elevated them just like any God-fearing man would do. Okay? Some people will say, well, this is just cultural. This is a cultural thing. This is just cultural. No, because what Paul's going to do is he's going to go back to the order of creation in Genesis 1 and 2 and say, no, it's always been this way. And if you get this out of line, you're going to have a messed up church and you're going to have messed up homes and you're going to have a messed up community, right? There's people that say, there's no way, right? But then there's other people that just say, it's head coverings, I'll just do it. Well, why do you do it? Well, just because I was told to do it. And that's what we do. We just do legalistic things all the time. I just wear a head covering. Right? And so it's really important that we understand the principle in verse 3, which is God talking about his divine kingdom authority as Christ being the head of a man, the man being the head of a woman, and God being the head, or God the Father being the head of Christ. It's really important. So let's talk about the divine design of men. Let's talk about the divine design of men. Maybe you'll flip with me in your Bible back to Genesis chapter 2. After God created man and women, in Genesis chapter 2, we see that man was created a little bit differently. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Man was created different than woman. Woman, you're going to find out, was created from man. Man was created from what? Dust. So ladies, you could always say, I knew he was nothing. That's why. Because he was kind of created from the dust, and God breathed into his nostrils and life came into the man. And God gave man specific kingdom responsibilities. If you drop down to verse 15, it says this, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it, you will surely die.'" So what did he do? He put man in the garden and told him to do what? Work. Work. Men, you have kingdom responsibility in the world, and it's called work. We'll see here as a result of the fall that that work can become hard. But men, you are God's agents on planet Earth to advance his kingdom through your work. And it's in the heart of every guy. I mean, I can speak authoritatively on the men. From the time we're young, I mean, even when we're like 3, 4, 5, what are we thinking about? World domination, right? I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to pitch for the Cubs. I'm going to play quarterback for the Bears. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to play 3 different professional sports. I'm going to lead the CEO. I'm going to do all the. Why do you guys think that way? Because it's in your heart that God has put something in you for an area in his kingdom to steward well for God's glory so that men, whatever you're doing in your work, would bring honor and glory to God. And as we grow up and we learn differences about our giftings and personalities and what we're good at and what we're not, we begin to align with areas that we can steward those things in different ways where God gets glory through the work that we do. Now, keep this in mind. It means this. Because you answer to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's your head. It means we answer to somebody. It means there can't be anything in between you and your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the head covering thing's about. I mean, notice what it says. I'm back in 1 Corinthians. Now we're going to flip back and forth a little bit. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. Who's his head? It disgraces Christ. What was going on in the first century is many of the pagan religions would have their priests put things over their heads to pray and do stuff. And the Christian church, much like the Christian church often does, adopts the culture and brings it into the church. And so many of the pastors were throwing something on their head because that's what all the other religions do too. And Paul is saying to have a symbol on your head saying there's something between you and God is always wrong at every single time. The cultural expression of putting something over your head would be the cultural expression of us as men having something in between us and our relationship to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's something in our life that gets in the way of who the Lord is in our life. It's this area over here that we meddle in and say, yeah, I'm a Christian and I go to church, but I still dabble in that. And that gets in the way of Christ, but that's not a big deal for me. No, anything that would hinder your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly what Paul's talking about. And for the pastors in the first century, it was covering their heads. It was them saying, yeah, Jesus is cool, but I want to fit into what the other religious cultures do too. Really interesting. Who did God give the command to back in the garden to till the garden? Who did God give the command to not to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He gave it to Adam. Why? Because man was God's agent of advancing the kingdom on planet Earth. So he gave him work and he gave him instruction to lead well. And what does Adam do? Well, he blows it, right? He blows it because Eve eats off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because she's tempted by the serpent. And then what happens? What does God come and do? God does not come looking and say, Eve, Eve, where are you? What's he do? No, he comes and says, Adam, Adam, where are you? Why does he come looking for Adam? Well, because he gave Adam the instruction. Eve wasn't even created yet at this point in time. He comes looking for Adam. The man called to him in chapter 3 and verse 9, where are you? Right? And verse 10 is hilarious because he said, when he heard the sound, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. Who'd he hide? I'm not hiding me and Eve. They both hid. But as soon as Adam knew sin was in the world, what did he take care of? I'm taking care of me. You know what happens when something gets in the way of a man in his relationship with Jesus Christ? He becomes utterly selfish in every way. That's exactly what happens. I'm not taking care of my wife. I'm not taking care of the world. I'm not taking care of my church. I'm taking care of me. Here's how you know that there's something in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you think that the world was created for you. No, your head is Jesus. He put you here for him. And if there's anything in the way of your relationship to Jesus or anything in you that says, I'm not taking care of anybody but me, there's something out of alignment in your life that's hindering you from being God's best, right? Now, as a result of the fall of man, you're going to see the punishment. One of the results for man was this. Hey, you're still going to work. And you're still my agent. I haven't changed the divine authority, but let me tell you something about this. One thing that's going to be painful for you, work is going to be really hard now. Guys, you ever experienced work being hard?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're going to go to the gym. You're going to have to work out hard at the gym now. It used to, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the garden, he's got like six-pack abs just by eating fruit or something. I don't know. It's going to be hard work. I mean, there's going to be problems. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be thistles. It's going to be challenging for you to accomplish your God-given destiny. So hard that for many of you men, oftentimes you're just going to be like, whatever, I'm done with this whole thing. I'm not going to pursue this God-given destiny thing anymore. It's just too hard to follow God. That's a result of the fall, okay? But men, your divine design is to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ and have nothing in your way. And if we miss that one, everything else falls apart. Let's talk about divine design of women. Divine design of women. Here's what he says in verses 3 and 4, the cultural expression. Well, let's start with 3. And man is the head of a woman. That doesn't fly well in our culture, but I'm just telling you on the authority of God's word, that's how he always intended it. That's how he always created it. And that's who it is. So woman, your head is man, right? So let's talk about that. First of all, let me say these words. Submission to an earthly authority doesn't relinquish your positive. It doesn't relinquish your worth. It's a positive thing. And it honestly forces God to go to work on your behalf. We already said God loves women the same way he loves men. And what we see in the Trinity, the Godhead, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Did Jesus Christ submit to the Father? How often? Like 100% of the time, even if he didn't want to do what the Father said, he always submitted to the Father. And because of his humility and submission and obedience, even to the point of what? Death, even death on a cross, the cruelest. What did God do? He elevated him and gave him the name that's above every name. Jesus always submitted to the Father. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? It's Dad and I. What about the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit's role? The Holy Spirit submits to both the Son and to the Father. The Holy Spirit's ministry that we're going to be talking about here in a couple weeks, what's his role? The Holy Spirit's ministry is to make Jesus Christ look good. It's to make Jesus Christ magnified, right? What's the role of woman? It's to make man look good, right? Really interesting in Genesis chapter 2, when God decides to create woman, it says, for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And he said, I will make him a suitable helper. And so he caused man to fall asleep, and she was called woman, for she was taken out of man. Okay, she's a helpmate. Okay, now let me tell you about that word. That word is the Hebrew word azer. It means deliverer or savior. Okay, ladies, here's what it means. God put man on the earth to be his glory and his representative to accomplish things. Here's what it means. He needed a lot of help. That's what it means. Man needs help. Ladies, that's a great place for you to say amen. I know he does, right? He does. That's why God created woman. And isn't it interesting? Based on your design, and I'm not authoritative on women, and I don't know your hearts. I just have a wife and two daughters, and I can see this. But isn't it true, ladies, in your heart, that when you see certain men doing things, perhaps it's your husband or perhaps it's another man, where you look and just as you're watching, you're like, oh boy, he could really use some help right now. I mean, isn't that part of your DNA? And not just like a little thing, not just like a suggestion, but like there's seven things he's missing here that if he could just figure this thing out, and I could really help him with that. It's part of how God made you, and it's part of who you are, and it's God's intrinsic design, and you don't need to fight it. You just don't need to fight it. I mean, sometimes when I hear women talk, they're like, yeah, well, you're just talking down to us, and you're just saying that we're less than. I'm like, no, I'm telling you, this is how God designed you, and it would be as silly as if an eagle complained that I don't swim as well as a dolphin, and a dolphin complained that I don't run as fast as a cheetah, and a cheetah complained that I can't fly like an eagle. It would be pointless. Live out your God-given design. This is how God designed you. It's who you are. And the reason it's really important we understand this before we get into gifts is that we need to understand that through sin, what happened in the fall, okay? Because some of you that are feeling uncomfortable with this teaching, it's because of what's happened in our world through sin that you're uncomfortable with. Here's what God says. He's going to curse the serpent and have him crawl around on his belly all the days of his life. And in Genesis 3:16, here's what he says is going to be a result of sin in the world. He said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will bring forth children. Okay? Ladies, is that true? I mean, I'm not an authority on that, but I can tell you from what I've seen, it doesn't look very comfortable. I mean, it's very painful. So that's true. Then notice what he says to the ladies too. He says to Eve, yet your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Well, this word desire is the same word in Genesis 4:7, where God is talking to Cain and saying, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. What was sin's desire? To overtake him. Sin's desire was to pounce on him. Here's the result of the fall, ladies. Listen. As a result of the fall, when ladies live in sin and are not spirit-filled, here's what your desire will be. Your desire will be to take over the man's responsibility and put men down. That will be your desire. And here's what the result of that will be. Men will crush you. And here's how men will crush you. They'll do it very aggressively, like perhaps physically, perhaps with their mouth or something like that. Or they'll be very passive. Like if you're the type of lady that's at home, well, why don't you do anything? Why don't you help? Why don't you do anything? Why don't you help? Why aren't you the spiritual leader? See, how well is that working for you?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Kingdom Authority. Examining the deep significance behind Christ being the head of every man and its implications for Christian practice. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.